Take your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 5, if you will. 2 Kings chapter 5. So good to have each one of you here. Thank you for being here on a midweek service, for taking the time and going through all the trouble that it is to get off work and just get a quick bite to eat and then come to church. I know what that is, and I appreciate it so very much. Thank you. Thank you for being here. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, we have this familiar story of the healing of Naaman. Naaman was a captain of the host of the Syrians. He was a great man, and yet the Bible says he was a leper. He had the terrible, dreaded disease of leprosy. I don't know if you've ever had that opportunity, but I have of going through a leper colony. A little apprehensive, like this is not as contagious as it was in the Old Testament, is it? Tell me that. And they said, no, it's not contagious. So based on their word, I went through the leper colony and got to see the lepers and where they live and the conditions and talk with them. And you can see the results of leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible, debilitating disease. Most leprosy runs in families, of course, because it's infectious, it's contagious. You can have leprosy for up to 9 months before it shows the first sign that you have it. So once someone shows that they have it, they've already infected the people they're closest around. And that's how leprosy carries out. In the Old Testament, of course, the plan was to segregate. And by the way, in third world countries, it's still the plan. It's the only plan. Is to take those who have leprosy and segregate them. Now there's medicine that will stop the progress of leprosy. It will not reverse it. It will stop it. And then, of course, there's surgeries that are taking place because once it starts, you will lose fingers, toes, hands, arms, noses, ears. It's a debilitating. It was a horrific way to die. And it was a way to be isolated. Here was a great man, and yet he has leprosy. God did a marvelous thing. But in verses 1 through 14, what I want us to see is how many people it took to get one man healed. Last week, I preached about getting men to Jesus, the effort, the work it takes to get someone to Jesus. And we found about the four friends that had to climb up on top of the roofs, had to walk across the roofs, had to tear down the roof, had to lower their friend at the feet of Jesus, and then had to spend the rest of the day, no doubt, patching up the roof that they'd destroyed. While the man picked up his bed and ran home, his friend stayed and fixed the roof. I would say, hey, come back here. Help me fix this roof. But he didn't. He was so overjoyed. It's effort. Getting people to the Savior. But it's effort that is well worth it. Amen. Well worth it and greatly rewarded by our God. Every little thing we do for the cause of Christ is greatly rewarded by our God. Even a cup of cold water given in the name of a prophet can get a prophet's reward. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, if you found this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to have you stand up tonight as I normally do. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, so just follow along if you will. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. By the way, a talent is a measurement of weight. And so a talent is usually equivalent to about 160 pounds. So 10 times that, so that's 1,600 pounds of silver. Today it's valued by the ounce, 16 ounces to a pound, by the ounce. I remember the last time I had silver to sell, I think back then it was like $22 a pound. I'm not sure what it sells. I think it's quite a bit now, quite $22 an ounce, I mean, not a pound, an ounce. Years ago, I would have a man, every time we had missions conference, he'd bring a burlap sack with three silver, 100 troy ounce bars of silver. And he'd donate that to the missions program. What a blessing he was. He helped us build our first building many years ago. And he's in heaven rejoicing. 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he had sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?" And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, in these next few minutes, give us a truth that will help us be very practical and applicable to all of our lives, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, we have this healing of this mighty man of valor whose name is Naaman. He's captain of the Syrian host. They are a warlike people, and they have been fighting in the land of Israel, and they have captured a little maid, and then they go back to the king of Israel to help their captain get rid of his leprosy. And what I want us to see in this passage of Scripture is how many people it took for Naaman to get help. And so, if you don't mind, I'm going to use different people in the congregation, and if you will help me as I show the role here, I'm going to ask you to participate, and when I need someone, I'll ask someone to volunteer, and then I'll have you stand and you'll get to play that role. I did this many, many years ago, and I had people come on stage and such as that, but I'll not do that right now, but we'll have you stand. First of all, we have to have Naaman the leper. I think Adam would be a good leper. And so, Adam, you stand up and you're Naaman the leper. And then the Bible tells us that there was a little maid from Israel, a little girl from Israel. And so I need someone to play the role of a maid. Who wants to play the role of a maid? Mama's elected you, so stand up. You're the play the role of the maid, okay? And then we have Naaman's wife. Someone's got to play Naaman's wife. Now, Connie's not here. Where's Connie? In the nursery? Well, we'll keep her in the nursery, but someone else, for the sake of the story, play Naaman's wife. Miss Sarah, can I pick on you? And you're the leper's wife, okay? And so that's okay. You'll keep him at a distance so you don't get leprosy. And so we have Naaman, we have a little child, we have Naaman's wife. And then, and the little maid, when she heard and saw that her master had leprosy, she said, "I wish he knew the man of God in Israel." And so she says, okay, can you say it louder? "I wish he knew the man of God in Israel." Okay, and the little maid tells it to the wife. And when she tells it to the wife, there's a servant that overhears. Dave, can you be a servant? Okay, you stand up. And the servant overheard the conversation. Now, the servant then goes to Naaman and says, "Thus and thus said the little maid." Thus and thus said the little maid.
Thus and thus said the little maid.
Yeah, that's a quote. That's what he said, thus and thus. Okay. And so Naaman then sends servants and goes with him, or goes to the king of Syria first. And so we need someone to play the king of Syria. Jeremiah, will you play that? Okay. So Naaman then goes to the king of Syria and says, "I've heard through the little maid and my servant and my wife that there is a prophet in Israel that can heal leprosy." And so the king of Syria writes a letter saying, "Heal my man." And then he gives that to Naaman, who has some servants with him. And so if we're going to have servants with him, we got to have two or three people. Jonathan, can I use you over there? And can I use you over here? Stand up here. That's two of you over here. Who can I use over here? Who will raise up? Stand up. Okay. Now, so he goes with three other servants. Now, he comes to the king of Israel. So I need a king of Israel. Brother Tim, will you be a king of Israel? And so they come and they give the letter to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says, "What? What are they asking of me? Do they think I'm God? They're just doing this to cause trouble." And then there is the man of God, Elisha. And Elisha knows what God is doing. Ben, can I have you be Elisha? And Elisha knows what God is doing, so Elisha sends his servant. Clyde, can I have you be a servant and stand up there? And so the servant goes to the king of Israel and says, "Don't fret about this, send him to me." Okay? And so the servant then tells the king, and the king sends Elijah. Sends the Naaman to Elijah. Okay. Now, he comes to Elijah. I need someone to play Elijah. Okay. Chris, you're Elijah. Stand up. And so they come to Elijah, and Elijah doesn't even go out of his house. But Elijah sends his servant. Andy, can I have you be a servant? Okay. Elijah sends his servant who goes to Naaman and says, wash in the River Jordan 7 times and be clean. And Naaman throws a fit. What? That muddy River Jordan? Why, we just went through that thing. I wouldn't want to swim in that water. That is the muddiest stuff. We got clean waters over in Syria. I wouldn't want to be in that muddy River Jordan. He's so mad. And then his servants come to him. So I need 2 servants. James, can I have you be a servant? Mauricio, can I have you be a servant? And his servants come to him and say, Master, had he asked you to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done that? And the implication is, yeah, I would have. Well, why not just wash and be clean? And, you know, he was real heated and he thinks, that makes sense. You know, I'm going home anyway. We got to cross the river anyway. I might as well dip in it 7 times. And so he gets in the water and he dips 7 times and he comes up clean. Marvelous story. Miraculous story. In this little 14 verses, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 people it took. And when it says servants, I've chosen at least 2. But chances are it could have been many more servants. And I'm sure that Naaman didn't come with just 1 or 2 servants. He came with the entourage. It took 15 people to get one man healed. Okay, now be seated again. Oh, everybody be seated. 15 people. But now I want us to think about this. On a regular Sunday, how many people does it take to reach the people that come through the door of our church every Sunday? How many people does it take? And sometimes people say, oh, it's just the preacher. Well, no, it's just a lot more than that. So let's try to figure this out. And if you'll participate, I'll have you stand again. Here's a family, and they come to our church. Okay? And maybe several families. We're going to have open house Sunday. Maybe several families will come to our church. And so the first thing, they need somebody in the parking lot to greet them. Oh, yeah. How many know that on the outside of our buildings, we have more than one set of doors? We don't realize it, but a lot of times people come up to our property and the first thing they say is, I wonder which door we go in. They don't know which door we go in. Our office door says office, but hardly anybody can ever find it. I say, well, it has 6-inch letters that says office, church office. But anyway, that's just the reality of it. There's more than one set of doors. And sometimes they go and they just start checking doors. A lot of times people come to the office and they come the long way around through the school and through the hallway and through the maze and wind up in the office. They're out of breath. Oh, I finally found it. So that's why you have greeters in the parking lot. So they know which doors they go through. And because you want to greet them. When they get out of their car, you want to say, God bless you. Good to have you today. Welcome to Grandview Baptist Church. Is this your first time?
Our first time.
Wonderful. Well, let me show you where you go, okay? Come on up here. We'll go through these doors, and there's some greeters in there, and there's some people to tell you where to go to Sunday school and all of that and information. We're thrilled to have you with us today. Come on here. And so you have parking lot greeters. And on special days especially, we always need that, okay? Thank you very much. Well, let's say we need some parking lot greeters. I think we need maybe 4 parking lot greeters. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? So can I have someone over here that's willing? Jeremiah, will you be a parking lot greeter? Can I have someone over here be willing to be a parking lot greeter? Okay, there we got one. Someone over here be a parking lot. I need a lady. Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. Okay, Carol, can I have a lady over here be a parking lot greeter? Okay, thank you, Jan. Okay, there we are. I got 4 parking lot greeters. Okay, now you come to the front porch and we have greeters there. And we have that every morning. And they're saying, good morning, glad to have you. And so we usually have 1 or 2 over here, and then we have 2 over here, and then we have someone down here. And then, of course, when the buses come, we have some people there. We have more than this, but let's just say we need 5 greeters in on the porch or right inside the door, somewhere right in there. Will someone over here be a greeter inside? Okay, Ben? Okay. 2, Candy, thank you. How about over here? Thank you, thank you. How about over here? Thank you very much. And one more. Okay, there we are. Okay, stand up. I got 2 more. That's good. 6. So I have greeters. We have some over here, some over here, some in the beginning of the gym, and then some over here at the drive-through. And if we had an extra, we'd just put them over in the educational building greeting people too. So that's a good thing. Now, we need ushers to hand out a brochure. Good morning. Here's a brochure. Okay, so we have to have an usher at that door, that door, that door, that door, that door. So as people come in, good morning. Here's a brochure. Good morning. Good to have you with us. Good morning. And so sometimes greeters have them as well, but all the ushers have to have them to be able to give them. So no one should get into the auditorium without a brochure. No one. Why? The brochure gives the order of service. The brochure is our, that's how you fill out your guest card with the brochure. You don't have a brochure, you can't fill out the card, right? Okay, so can I have a greeter from over here? Al, okay. Can I have a greeter from over here? Thank you very much, Mauricio. Can I have a greeter from over here? Over here. Okay, Larry, I got you. I got 2. And right over here. Okay, so I have my greeters. That gives us the 5 greeters that we have. Now, we need someone to take children to Sunday school classes. Hey, Jonathan, that's your job already. Okay, stand up and see who else helps you with that. Okay, Michelle. Okay, and okay, Tiffany. Okay, so we have people who greet them and then say, okay, you need to go to, your child needs to go to second grade. That's good. Jonathan, will you take Charlie here to second grade? Take his family. And so that's what they do. So you got to have people. You can't just say, well, you go down the hall, you make a left, you go down the stairs, you make a right, go straight, make a right, make a left, another right, and then a left. And there you are. And they're going, no, you got to show them. You know, I love stores when you go to them and you say, where's your hammers? And they say, let me show you. Come on, let me show you. They don't say, that's aisle 55. What aisle's this? You know, aisle 55 on the left down at the bottom. No, you go to most places like Home Depot. That's an adult Toys R Us. And you go to Home Depot, and they'll say, let me take you. And they will show you, and they'll say, and here's the hammers. And that's what we have to do for Sunday school. We need to take people to there. And if they have 2 or 3 children, 2 or 3 different grades, you got to go to each of those grades, okay? So you got to have people to do that. Now, let's see, you have to have nursery workers. They're going to have babies. Okay. Oh, how many ladies does it take to run our nursery? 6. 10. 10 for a regular Sunday morning. Okay. Each service, it takes 10 ladies in the nursery. Okay. So, can I have some ladies stand up here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thank you, Dora. Okay, so we got the nursery taken. Okay, now you take the child to the Sunday school and you open the door and where's the teacher? You got to have teachers. Now, I'm not going to have everyone stand up, but we have to have 60 teachers every Sunday morning in Sunday school. 60 teachers every Sunday morning in Sunday school. Oh, yeah, that's minimum. Okay, so let's have five from this stand up. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, good. And we're doing good. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, over here, stand up. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Stand up over here. 21, 22, 23. Okay, that's good. Anybody else want to be a Sunday school teacher? 24. Okay. We'll just say it's 24. 25. Stephen, stand up there. Okay, we're just going to use 25. It takes 60. We're just having 25 stand up. But you see, it takes a lot of people. Okay. Now, the Sunday school teachers have to greet the family and say, oh, it's so good to have your Johnny with us here today. God bless you. He's in third grade, right? Oh, yeah. Well, that's wonderful. These are third graders, and we're thrilled to have you with us. Now, you got to have a pianist. Got to have someone play the piano. Who wants to play the piano? Andy. That's good. I didn't say you could. I said you want to. Okay, so we have a pianist. Let's have two. We got two pianos. Come on up here. Do we have an organist? Anybody can play the organ? Let's have an organ. Okay, Barbara, you're the organist. Adrian, you know how to play the organ? What? He's been holding out. I knew he could play the piano. I didn't know he could play the organ. Okay. Now we got to have some ushers. And we had people pass out brochures. Well, we're just going to let them be the ushers as well, okay? Now, we're going to start our Sunday school class. And if it's an adult Sunday school class, we need someone to have a praise item. Some member to have a praise item. Stand up. You got a praise item? I need one more person to have a praise item. Who else? Okay, Miss Lyram, you'll have a praise item. That's good. And then we need the pastor to teach or preach. Okay, that's good. We need a choir. We need a choir. How many we want in the choir? 60. We want 60 teachers. We want 60 in the choir. Okay. Can I have a few more people stand up? Let's see about 20 more people stand up here. You'll be in the choir. You'll be in the choir. You'll be in the choir. Thank you very much. We're in the choir. Well, we hadn't even started the service yet. We're going to have a song leader. Who's going to be the song leader? Burl, will you stand up? Phyllis. Ben. Ben be the song leader. Now, we need a trio to sing a special. I could have asked for an ensemble, but we'll just have a trio. Right here, 1, 2, 3. We got a trio right there. That's good. Okay, we need two staff men to pray for the offering in the beginning of the service. Two staff men. They got to do something. They set up here. They got to do something. Who else is going to do it? 1, 2. Okay, there you are right there. Okay, we got to have two men to work sound system. Okay, we got Mark and we got Roy. There they are right there. We need one man to work a video camera. We got these video cameras, and one of these days they're going to be working, and we got them. They're all remote. So, Brandon, you work the video camera. Let's see. What? Orchestra. Oh, man. We're running out of people. Okay. Ladies, stand up here. Y'all are the orchestra over here. Kim, stand up. You're in the orchestra. You're in the orchestra up here, Michelle. Okay. We have to have children's church workers. That's the rest of the balcony. Stand up there. All seven of you are children's church workers. Okay, now we give the invitation. We need two ladies to be name takers. People make decisions. We've got to have name takers. Save more for nursery. Ten more, because we had them for Sunday school. We had them. No, you're playing double duty today. I'm sorry. I mean, just it's the way it is. Okay. Who'll be a name taker? Okay. Any lady that's not? Okay, stand up there. Okay, that's good. Be a name taker. We need somebody to walk the aisle and get saved. Chuck? Brad? Okay, Ben has to get baptized. Are you going to get baptized here? Okay. We need someone to walk the aisle, get saved, get baptized. We need somebody to work in the baptistry room in the changing. So someone has to escort them up there and show them how to get to the baptistry, where it is, where to get changed and get them ready, and has to stand there on the in the side while they're getting baptized. So we got to have a man and a woman to be able to take the converts up there and get baptized. Anybody else? Who can we use? Where? Over here? Okay, thank you very much. Do we have a man to stand up? Okay. We need somebody to close in prayer. Burl, that's you. Now we need four bus workers per bus, and we have 11 buses. So we need 44 people to work the buses. We need one bus captain per bus. We need two adults that stand right at the drive-thru to greet them when they get off the bus. And we need the rest of the people to be friendly. Okay, God bless you. You may be seated. You see, it takes every one of us. It takes every one of us. And several wear several hats. You work in the nursery, and then you run to children's church, or you teach Sunday school, and then you run to the nursery, or you run to the choir, then you run to the nursery. Several people wear several hats. Sometimes someone sings in the choir, and then they have to go out. And we didn't mention security. We got men that are roaming the halls. It's not that they don't want to pay attention. They're watching over everything. They work a detail of security. They go through the parking lot. They go through the hallways. They make sure there's no problems, there's no situations to deal with. And they're prepared to deal with whatever goes wrong. I mean, if a shooter comes to our church, they're going to be like Swiss cheese. I mean, honestly, if someone comes and starts firing in this church, you better duck and cover, because there are going to be so many people shooting. It's going to be bad. We're going to have so much friendly fire, you just got to hit the floor. But that poor guy is going to be pieces, I tell you. The lady's going to reach in their purse. Half the ladies will reach in their purse. Half the guys will be hitching up behind their pants or opening up their Bible and pulling out their... that's right. That's the truth. And the rest of the people to be friendly. Now, that's what it takes for a church. That's what it takes. But the problem is the average church in America is a spectator sport. But that's not what church was meant to be. Every one of us are helping the work of God move forward. Every one of us. Brother Vessel, come up here just a minute. And stand right here and face that way. This is the work of God. Every time you shake a hand, you're pushing the work of God forward. Every time you greet someone in the parking lot, you're pushing. Every time you teach a Sunday school class, you're pushing. Every time you play the piano or sing a song, you're pushing the work. See, all of us are pushing the work of God forward. Now, listen, we're on God's team and we don't want the devil to win. By the way, he's not going to, but we don't want him to. And we know ultimately he does not win. But if we adopt apathy, then the devil will win in this church. And that's why 1,000 churches a month close their doors. Or I think it's 1,000 a week. It's a lot. Close their doors. Why? Apathy. Nobody's pushing the work of God forward. They're not friendly. They won't teach. They won't be an usher. They won't give. They won't work in the nursery. They just want to sit. Sit, soak, and sour. That's not what we're supposed to sit, soak, and serve. Serve, serve, serve. See, we have some people who are worse off than Naaman. They're sick of soul. If they die, they go to hell. And so we want to do everything in our power to get them to Jesus. And shaking their hand and greeting them and singing in the choir. You're not singing in the choir because you love to sing. You're singing in the choir because you love Jesus. You're not playing the piano because you know how to play the piano. You're playing the piano because you love Jesus and want to influence people for Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. We don't preach because we like to preach. We want to preach to exalt Christ and motivate people to reach people for Christ. Amen. It's all about that. Amen. We're on a mission. I mentioned Sunday, I read, this was last week, we're not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship, an aircraft carrier, and all of us are jets. And we just land to refuel and then jet off again for a mission. Every week we're on a mission. So when we come to church, it's refuel time. Then during the week, we fly the mission again. We have all these sorties. I don't know why they call them sorties, but we got all these sorties for God, all these missions. And it takes every one of us. Thank you, Brother Vessel. That's the message for tonight. Realize your part in the great mission of a local church. And you know, it doesn't matter if a church runs 12 or 12,000, it still takes every person in that church to make it work. Amen. Every person in that church to make it work. Small, little, big, it doesn't matter. It takes them all. And no matter how big the church is, no matter how many workers they have, there's always a ton of workers that have many different hats on. Because there's never enough workers. Never enough. It takes 10 ladies of service. Some of those ladies do it more than once, don't they? Yeah. They do. Let's reach a world for Christ. Let's show up every service and be on mission.